Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
You're listening to Petty Little Things with your hosts, Victoria Secret and Davina Devine.
Hey, hi, Petty Bitches. It's Petty Little Things, and this is Davina Devine, fresh out of Pride.
This is Victoria's Secret, freshly out of a massage.
Oh, a sexy massage and a happy ending.
I mean, listen, okay, let's get straight into it. Me and Davina went to a spa. Well, I mean, I don't know if we could call it that.
A health farm.
A few people, because I made the mistake of like putting it online going, recommendations, please.
Yeah.
And then we didn't book it. Our friend booked it, and the pictures looked lovely.
They didn't.
Did they not?
No. They didn't. And I didn't want to say, I'm always the one going, this is shit. I'm always that person. So I have to say, well, I leaned into that character when we got there because we needed to, because I, full disclosure, it was like fucking Fawlty Towers.
It was actually, wasn't it? That's a really good description.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it wasn't great, to
and
be fair.
As soon as we got out of the car, I was like, I've been here before. And was, by the way, it says it was in Wicklow. It was like, what? Wicklow County, Kerry is what it was. So it was like actually fucking miles away. It was like, obviously, I think
Wicklow Concord.
Yeah. It was like on the border, I think, of like Wexford, very, very far deep into the Wicklow heartlands.
For sure.
And
it didn't look like it didn't look like any money had been spent in the last 10 years.
10?
Yeah.
No, like definitely 15 minimum. Well, minimum. And it's been true. We've been through a pandemic.
True that. Well, drunk me came back to the hotel room and like I saw a pen and paper and I started writing down all the things I thought were wrong with the hotel. And I was like, and then I woke up the next morning and I just went, what the fuck is that about? I even wrote down that the toilet seat was kind of broken.
Oh, really? Was it broken?
Well, you know, the little things on the end of the toilet seat where they're supposed to like balance.
Oh, yeah.
All of them were chipped and broken.
Oh, no. See, I'm not into that. Mm. And when we first got out of the car, I looked around and I said, I've been here before. Mm. I was like, definitely. I was like really, really familiar. Mm. And I was like, either that or it was like a fever dream. I don't know. But
in the Garden of Ireland.
But then I realized it was actually the first was we checked into the hotel and they were like, yes, you're over here in this house. Like miles fucking away.
Miles away.
So I walked over and I was like, I definitely was here. But it turns out it was the very first wedding that I ever performed at.
Yeah.
And it was back in, I think it was like 2008. And it was actually for my very good friend, Lisa, who I'm really good friends with now. At the time, she was the first person to book me. We worked together in Brown Thomas, I can say that now.
Yeah.
And she was the first
person.
My NDA is over. She booked me, and we like me and April had never done a wedding before.
Yeah.
So I kind of remembered. And I was, you know, Lisa's wedding is actually hasn't lasted the test.
Okay, well, that's like, what I was going to say. I'd love to go back through all the weddings that we've done.
Well,
and know how many couples are still together.
Well, Lisa had said about that venue in particular that it was a really popular wedding destination for many people. And Lisa said that there's a rumor going around that it's cursed.
I love shit like that.
And that apparently we know, like, I think it was about 8 or 9 couples that have like been married there and divorced. So she kept texting me when I was there saying, ask about the curse. And I was really
tempted. We actually should have, why didn't we?
Because they weren't They weren't great staff.
No, they weren't.
It was a little bit League of Gentlemen.
Oh, it really was. Do you know what? Well, one thing that was really good was we both really enjoyed our massages and we both enjoyed having Prosecco in the hot tub.
Yeah.
That was lovely. I fell asleep twice during my massage and I woke myself up because when she pressed into me, I kept making a...
Oh, oh God.
And I just kept thinking, this nice older lady is thinking, oh, okay, calm down. It's not that good. Do you know what I mean?
Poor bitch. She's actually up for retirement after that. So, yeah. So it was actually, do you know what I have to say? The experience, if I had been there on my own, I would have been like, this is actually awful. The service wasn't great. The things weren't working.
Yeah.
However, we had a ball.
We did. But I kind of feel like we needed to redo it. So maybe we need to look at that and go somewhere else.
To be honest, I just enjoyed, and I love being a sarky bitch as well. I love just being like, oh, well, if I had known, I'd be sitting outside, it would have taken like Claritin. My friend Dave was like, oh, you shut up everywhere. You know when it's going to be fucking pollen everywhere you go. So yeah, it was so funny. We had a ball, but yeah, God, what an experience. Like, it was a very whirlwind night. There was a lot went down.
A lot of people are like, since Pride is over, people keep coming up to me and going, are you over Pride yet? Are you feeling good now?
No.
I'm actually feeling worse, to be honest.
I know. Now, what comes after Pride? Shame. Happy shame month. Shame, 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 shame on you. Yes, so Pride is over.
Yeah.
Let me see. And yeah, so we did make it through. I hope you all had a good Pride.
Yeah, I hope you did.
Yeah.
I do you know what? As much as I loved working on all those things, one year I'd love to actually just go, if that makes sense, and watch.
Yeah, but do you know what? To be honest, I thought about that as well, because one thing you do realize is that we don't ever actually really get to experience Pride how most people do. You know, most people, like, if for example, will have their Pride event in their office or in their workplace, or they'll have, actually, a lot of people don't get that even full stop. And then they go to the Pride parade and they might do something in the evening.
Yeah.
Whereas we do all your Pride events and then we do all the Pride parties. And then so we don't really actually feel it out, do you know, the kind of way.
Yeah.
That being said, I don't think I'm the kind of person that could just go to one event and then I think I'd be either I'm all or nothing.
Yeah, you are.
So I'm doing it all or I'm doing nothing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think you can be honest with them. You never want to see a warm glass of white wine ever again.
I wouldn't say never again. I wouldn't say never again. And I have to say, I have become accustomed to it.
To be honest, we were only in the hotel about 5 seconds and Davina was like, do you think they do a warm glass of white wine here? And I was like, okay, girl. Right, let's talk about Pride Day itself.
Yes.
It starts very early. We were both up. I think I was up from like 7. You're trying to like scoff a bit of food before the marathon day. Got ready. Getting to O'Connell Street, when I tell you, you got there a little bit earlier.
I was the first one there.
Okay, so by the time I was trying to get down O'Connell Street, every street was wedged. I was dressed like Cinderella.
You have very, 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 I'm going to call you on this now, you have terrible time keeping.
But I was still there on time, 2 minutes before.
Just about, but you were in a blaze of rage. And that's on you because everybody else was there. And it's always this kind of mad dash panic. And you always seem to have loads of time, but yet at the same time end up being crazy late.
I know, but also like I was getting like calls from Vicker Street going, can we get your laptop?
Yeah.
Like I can't sit and just get ready. Do you know that kind of way?
Yeah.
Mary wants to come and collect something. I'm like, Mary, I'm going to be gone. And she's like, we need it for the run through. Other people that were performing were like texting me about things. And I'm like, I actually can't just switch off. That's why you say I go on Do Not Disturb. If there's any Do Not Disturb girlies too much, that's the only way I can switch my brain off. Like, if I don't do that.
Well, I think you're just taking on too much. I think there's just too much there.
Distracted. Yeah. But anyway, so trying to get down, I'm thinking I'm Cinderella in 500 meters of material.
Cinderella.
Not expecting the heat. I was practically kicking people out of the way. I was like, I heard
one person ask for a photograph and there was quite a bark. No.
Although it was at least my 30th no going down that street.
I could tell by the tone. I was like, fuck, here she is.
Yeah.
I was like, get the fuck away from her. I was like, I'm going up the front of the flow. I was like, I could see the head in her. I knew straight away. I was like, she needs a few minutes there to decompress.
A few minutes. Even getting on the flow, I couldn't get on the flow with my costume. I had to take off the
costume.
So thanks, Phil T, for helping me with that. But I'm, what's your thoughts on photos of Pride? Like, I would love to take loads of photos, but
I say yes to everyone.
I just can't.
See, that's a, do you know, this is a common misconception about everyone. Like, everyone's like, oh, I'm the bitch one and Victoria's a little Miss Sunshine.
Yeah.
When it comes to actually dealing with people in that way, I'm actually much better at that.
Yeah, you are.
It like, I'm much, I can be snappier in other ways, but dealing with people, I'm a bit more present.
I was just exhausted.
You were flustered, and once you kind of have time to kind of come down a bit, then it, like, I get it, because when you're rushing like that, it's the worst feeling in the world, especially when there's so many people. And it's like when I was going to the float, they said all the streets were closing at 11:30. Road closures.
Were you there before 11:30?
Yeah, I was there at 11:00.
Oh my God.
So I was on the ball, but I said, oh my God, the roads are closing. And you know that me and taxis are not getting, we're not seeing eye to eye this weather.
Yeah.
So I said, I had three taxi companies on the go. So whoever took, I didn't care if they charged me for three cabs. I was like, I'm getting that fucking float. Got one taxi straight away. And this guy goes, oh wow, you look so beautiful. I was like, get me to O'Connor Street. And he goes, oh, and I said, the roads are closing.
Yeah.
And guys, didn't know if they'd start kind of closing a little bit early, like further down or whatever, you know, the way this is Dublin, they do everything fucking backwards. So your man put his pedal to the metal, we whizzed up Pier Street, whizzed across, and I was like, I got there, I think it cost me £9 or something, and I said, keep 20. I was like, you got me here so fast. I was like, I'm here. And
where did he let you off?
He let me off at Sean McDermott Street, which is a lovely little, you know, nice part of town.
Okay.
And I had to walk across. I walked very fast up Calbrough Street, but there was loads of people. I was fine. And I walked so fast. I could hear people saying, I would hear people going, that's a power walk if ever there is. Because I was in 5-inch heels, and I tell you girls, no, I can walk in the heels. Mm. Don't I walk fast? Yeah, I'm like, bum, bum, bum.
Sometimes like, too fast.
Oh no, sometimes. But yeah, I was like, nobody was stopping me, getting in my way. And do you know the worst thing about drag and things like that is carrying bags like drag bags are the worst.
Oh my
if God. You have like literally like fucking costumes and fucking, it's the worst. You're like totally, you're a spine injury waiting to happen.
Yeah, I don't know if Madonna still has man arms, but Jesus.
Yeah, that'd keep your arms in check, wouldn't it?
She obviously carries around drag bag, if that's the case. I spent the whole month carrying a bloody bag around, and sometimes a bag and a speaker as well. So they're going to write a big bloody speaker. But so you got there.
Yeah.
You were in great flying form when I got on the float. I did notice, I didn't clock until you just said that you actually gave me a wide berth when I got.
Yeah, I did. I saw, I said, I'm getting away from here.
And then you did just filter down about 10 minutes later. So you were so thought out, bitch. That's so fucking funny.
And so when I got there, Martin King was there from Ireland AM, Linda Martin King. And he was like, Jesus. He was like, come here, will you do a piece to camera? I was like, yeah. And as I was doing the piece to camera, a certain somebody came up to him and was like, oh, hi. Obviously trying to inch in on this camera time moment. I said, sorry, hon, I'm just doing a piece for the TV. I was very petty, you know, I was saying, but I was like, sorry, this is my TV moment. And like the person, I was definitely hanging around trying to get a bit of like,
I'd love to guess.
Guess.
Okay. Got it in one guess, girls. Got it in one guess. You can DM us your own guesses if you want to. So you did that. I love Martin King, by the way.
He is so nice. And just, you know, like a genuine, like actual ally.
Yeah.
And his wife, Jenny, who does all the wedding photography. She's been doing wedding photography for so long, and she's been very sick.
Oh no.
She had I think it was brain tumor. But she's doing really well now.
Okay.
And she only brought her, like they're super sound. They've been around for a long time. Like they're proper OGs sounders. Like they're just so sound.
Yeah, okay, love it. Yeah, no, really nice. And Elaine, actually the whole crew in there always so nice.
Well, speaking of all that TV stuff,
yes,
and the fact that like Virgin Media are actually so sound.
Yeah, because we drove past RTE yesterday and it did make me question. I was like, Virgin Media had loads of people I knew in during Pride Month. And I was like, did RTE have anyone in? I don't know. Did they?
I don't know.
I didn't see anything.
I'm off the board.
That's all right. Davina did stop by Krispy Kreme on the way in. Got us a very delicious milkshake.
Yeah, it's really good. Not sponsored, but very delicious.
Mini donuts.
Yeah. It's true, actually, because I have, like, you know, there was a few, they always want to do radio pieces.
Yeah. We didn't get that asked, though, this year.
There was a couple of things, but I was like, no, because I wasn't free for a couple of things. But radio is obviously, it's like a bit of a cop-out to me.
Uh-huh.
Whereas, like, TV is more, especially for drag, you don't want to be doing radio.
You want the visual.
Drag. Yeah. So Yeah, that's interesting. But that it, listen, fucking, they're burning the house down, aren't they? At the moment, like it's all it's. I hate to reference this, but it's a bit like the Ocean Gate.
Yeah, so
it's kind of imploding on them, isn't it?
Well, a friend of mine literally just before we started, but recording this, sent me something about like stuff that they'd done as barters.
Yes.
And did you see this?
About the flip-flops.
Well, no, Panty was tweeting about that.
Oh.
And Panty was referencing how her show got cancelled, but they're buying 30 euro pairs of flip-flops or something. So it's some further details provided on the RTE barter accounts this morning. Almost 8 grand at Spice Girls at the Crow Park. Almost 14 grand at Ed Sheeran. Almost 3 grand at Garth Brooks. Just over 2 grand at Swanky Members Only Soho House in London to be used for meetings in the UK. I'm cackling.
It seems like
we should be in there.
Do you know what though? It's I'm not really surprised because I feel like we all knew this was going on.
Yeah.
But now the fact that it's like what happens in the dark comes into the light.
Yeah.
There's nowhere to hide anything anymore.
No.
Like if you're doing something shady, it's gonna come into the light. Mm-hmm. Like no matter what it is, whether
especially when it's publicly funded.
Well, yeah, it's just I wonder where it's gonna go, what's gonna happen next.
And a lot the Toy of these, Show musical. Did you read about the Toy Show musical?
Oh, I did. $3 million budget. They got €3 million budget to put that on. And they gave away, it was like 3,000 tickets sold.
It lost over it sold 10,000 tickets, but it lost over 2.2 million.
It sold 10,000 tickets, but only 3 of them were bought.
Oh, wow.
The rest were comps.
You're joking.
Yeah. That's why it was a complete and utter disaster, which also, by the way, I called that. I said, who the fuck wants to go? Absolutely shit. Uh-huh. I was like, who the fuck is going to the Toy Show fucking musical? I couldn't think of anything fucking worse. I couldn't
even watch the Toy Show musical.
Fucking gross. But, God, that really did get me, didn't it? It's anything to do with those fucking brats.
Ireland's favourite Billy night Barry of the year. Brats. And you're coming out for them.
Yeah, the Billy Barry brats. So yeah, that was pretty bad.
I hate the matching pennies. What are they called? The pajamas.
Yeah, the posts. Oh, night. And Joe, it always makes me think as well of like, look, so many families haven't got anything.
Yeah.
And they're all these people like, oh, like, just... I'm not going to say it, but it's very chavvy. Let's just be fucking real. It's like all these people putting on the poor mouth and then all of a sudden the new pajamas are out, the fucking, all the toys, best of everything.
Can I just let you know, as she finished that sentence, she picked up a mini donut. It was almost like a treat for what she just said. There we go. So anyway, the shit's obviously going down with them, but I'm more interested whether they did that for Pride Month. So if they did, let me know.
Actually, just let me finish that delicious... Krispy Kreme do these minis now, by the way.
Yeah, she's about to lick the fingers, girls. She's about to stick all the fingers in.
Do you remember they were the official sponsor for Pride?
Yeah.
And then they were taken off.
Yeah.
They've actually haven't been very forthcoming.
No.
Actually, RTE feel very box ticky.
Yeah. Feels like the only
that
time.
Needs to change. It needs to be genuine. Something, and I think that what they are going to do is the whole executive board is just going to be ripped out and they're going to redo all that. For those of you actually listening in the UK, because I know there's a lot of UK listeners.
RTE
is basically our BBC. It's like our number one kind of like national broadcaster, and it's paid for by the tax payers. Mm-hmm. And people find this hilarious. We have a television license.
Yeah.
And my friend in Canada could not believe this. Telling the best joke ever. It's actually a license to have a television.
Yeah.
And now, because a lot of people don't have TVs, even if you have a tablet or you watch something, you still need a television license.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I think even if you've internet.
Yeah. Like, well, that's just because they kind of, again, changing the goalposts. Come on now.
Yeah. Should I share this story? Maybe I will. Right. I'm going to share this. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So I went through, like, obviously, when you move into a new place, the tea is you try and avoid the television license for as long as you can. Okay.
Yeah.
And they try and get you, dear resident, okay?
Yeah.
And I avoided it. But eventually, I was in my apartment. And I don't open the door unless I know who's coming. I just don't, right? Because I don't know who the other side of it is, what it's going to be, and I don't want to deal with it. But one day, I was getting ready to go to a Steps concert. And I was in the shower, out of the shower, getting dressed lovely, had Steps blaring.
Oh, no.
And then I hear knock, knock, knock at the door. And I'm like, well, I can't ignore it now because Steps are blaring and clearly I'm at home. Open the door in my little towel, Nip's looking directly ahead. Hello, TV license inspector.
Oh, no.
So basically, Hate From Steps got me caught.
Better best forgotten.
And now I've been paying ever since. So, yeah.
Oh, that's how you got caught?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a sucker. But you listen, like, you know, pay your TV license, blah, blah, blah. And also, speaking of things that were just kind of happening in the news, which I know is something that we're a little bit fascinated with as well, the Titanic situation.
Oh, yes.
But I know we kind of mentioned it just briefly earlier, but I was hooked on what was going on there. That story. Just
the whole world.
The whole world. Like, why are we so obsessed with the Titanic?
I don't know. When Celine Dion was just counting the cash near, far, wherever you are.
That song is going through my head. Like, I watched so many Titanic videos over the last two weeks. I'm still watching these just ridiculous videos. They keep showing me, you know, that woman singing that. The live recording of Sheila singing the whatever the hymn of the ocean of I didn't even really know that was a real person. I thought it was just like kind of like windpipes or whatever. But yeah, so funny.
Well, what was worse, at the height of it, obviously you did some music bingos with me, and I had made these music bingos like 6 weeks in advance, and I'd put Celine Dion, My Heart Will Go On, and like the middle of the search is happening, and I'm playing it 64 times a day, going, I'm sorry guys, I have to play, and I'd play it for like 2 seconds, and there was like mixed reactions.
Well, at least you did it kind of by accident, whereas Pixie was like, I'm doing Celine Dion, My Heart Will Go On, and she's like, could we get a visual of Titanic in the back? Like, okay, too soon. You're like, the people hadn't even been like found yet. They were still missing, and she's already basically throwing a wreath on their grave.
The tin can they went down in, though, let's be real. What?
Yeah. But like, I've watched loads of documentaries about it since, and like, and you know, in a weird way, I was like, God, I kind of would love to go down in one of them. But then,
not a fucking hope.
I don't know. And then I'm like, why? Like, what's the fascination with the Titanic? Yeah. Why are we so fascinated? I just don't know why. Like, there's something about it.
Is it because it doesn't look a lot bigger than the Mauritania?
It looks a lot bigger than the Mauritania.
Oh my God.
I don't know.
I'm going to rewatch that movie, actually. I bet you everyone's streaming it right now. I have to
say, it's one of those movies. It's going back on Netflix, I think, from July the 1st. Yeah.
It's even that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's very... That's what I mean. That the obsession is worldwide. Yeah. I don't know why everyone is just so... I think it was because... I don't actually know.
It's because the old lady dropped it down.
But even before that, we were obsessed with the Titanic. Mm-hmm. Like, there was always documentaries about it, and they were always trying to find the Titanic. And then when they did find the Titanic...
go to the museum, like, when it opened, they were like, oh, we must go to the museum. And you got, you and Dolly, matching Heart of the Ocean necklaces.
And we both did, like, she was old Rose and I was young Rose. We did a photo shoot. We pulled our tops down just to be naked.
You should repost that. That's really funny.
I'll find that, I will. We went to Titanic immediately. Museum. I went to a Titanic exhibition in the RDS. Like, wild. Like, I just don't know what it is. Yeah. And then there was another exhibition you could go to. My sister went to it, and when you go in, you get a ticket.
Okay.
And you're like, all aboard. And when you open it, you have like a profile of who you are.
Ooh.
On, you know, like your passenger name, what class you're in. And then when, as you go along through the thing, there's like a wall of ice, which is actually one thing, like, ridiculous.
Yeah.
You have to touch your wall and see how long you can hold your hand on the ice wall, because that's how cold the water would have been that night. So you hold the ice wall.
You're saying this ridiculous. I love this already.
I know, but it's ridiculous, really.
Okay.
Because it's not like, actually, how did they know exactly? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So they were holding the, and then at the end, there's like, you go through this like list on the wall, and basically you find out if you lived or died. I was like, my sister.
That's so grim.
My sister was a third class. She died. She was
my God.
So isn't that kind of mad? Like, that's so dark.
Yeah. When you said you got like a ticket and you go in, I was like, oh, a drinks ticket. Lovely.
Yeah. No, and all aboard.
Women and children first. Yes. I'm like, thrown away.
Oh my God.
Please, sir, I'm like 12 years old.
You'd be like, I am a woman. I'd be loving kids then.
Yes.
I'd be like, give me that brand.
Mary. Come on.
I will be full Cal. I'm all she's got in this world.
You can't separate us.
I love it.
Oh my God, how awful. Come here, we didn't talk about Vicar Street though. Obviously, like, it's pretty major. I always pinch myself when we're standing on that stage. Oh my God, we sold at Vicar Street again. Our third time selling at Vicar Street, which basically means we're bigger than the two Johnnies. So, like, thank God.
We're just a different kind of Johnnies, really. We're the two youth Johnnies.
I'm just kidding. They just did the marquee. But I suppose you did the marquee too.
Listen.
Are they both called Johnny, by the way?
Yeah.
That's both their names.
Yeah. Johnny, there's Johnny P and Johnny S or something like that.
Do you listen to their podcast?
I don't think I'm there. Designed. market. actually, speaking of Vicar Street, I was so exhausted coming to the end.
Okay, can we tell the true story?
Yeah, we'll tell it on the Patreon.
Okay, okay. Yeah. About what was happening backstage. Yeah. Okay, yeah, okay, we'll do it there.
But when we were after the show, I was like, oh my God, I'm exhausted. I was like, I really need to go. So I was, my regular taxi man that's around, he's like, yeah, I'll be with you. It was like 30 minutes. And I was like, I can't wait. I need to go now. And there was so much going on in Dublin that weekend. I eventually got an Uber Black. And
it was, stop telling people that, because then everyone's going to start using them.
They're very expensive.
I'm just kidding.
They are very expensive. Like, for what they are, it's like ridiculous. So I like, so ordered the car.
What privilege.
I would have paid anything to get home. I was out since like fucking 11 o'clock. I was like, get me home. Mm-hmm. So the car arrived, I was like, we'll go back to my friend's house. It was only like four of us, whatever, went back. And when we were, all the stuff was in the boot, I was so fucking tired.
This
like,
is so funny.
So my friend put everything into the boot, and then we all got out, and like, they were all like, oh, I'll take the bag. So I was like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
So I went in and I was so exhausted. I was just like, oh my God. Mm. So then that morning I was going home, and I was like, okay, do you know what? I'll pick up my case and stuff tomorrow. I was like, no problem. So my friend lives near me. It's fine. Then 3 days later, my friend says, I'll drop over your stuff. So I dropped over his suitcase, and it was actually with the wind machine that he had, and this like carry all. And I said, that's not my bag. And he was like, it is your bag. And I said, no, it's not. And I was like, this thing weighed a fucking ton.
Oh my God.
I was like, that is not my bag. And he's like, well, it's been in my house the last 3 days. And he said, who owns it? And I was like, I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
So I opened it. I was just full of like cleaning supplies, like polish, window lean, cloths, like really good stuff. And it was immaculately packed, immaculately. I was like, that's a fucking driver's like like cleaning bag. Because the car was immaculate, like polished.
It was not a limousine service, but Ireland's version of a limousine service, basically.
So it was like, so obviously, I was like, oh, you're fucking kidding me. And I was like, oh, and he goes, I was wondering why it's so heavy. He goes, geez, you wear a lot of makeup. I was like, yes, I do, but like, that's not my bag. And so I was like, oh my God. So I had to get onto the Uber, call him. I was so nervous. I thought he was going to be like, you stole my bag. Yeah. Because my friend works for Uber. And she said that if he had left me a review, I would have been banned from Uber. Yeah.
For stealing. Oh my God.
Like, but I don't think
he probably didn't know who it was.
That's it. But we were in the boot as well. So he probably had a fair day. And he said, I was trying to call you the last 2 days. And I said, sorry, my phone wasn't working.
But he
didn't actually call me, so I don't know what was going on there.
Yeah.
But then nothing was touched. It was perfectly packed.
And I mean, you called him, like, obviously it was a mistake.
And it was a bag of fucking cleaning supplies. Yeah. Like, it was hardly going to, like, you know, go off to the Maldives.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I gave it back to him. And then he said to me at the end, he goes, oh, thank you. If you ever need a taxi, give me a shout. And I was like, oh, okay, well, we're friends again. Okay. So that was it. That's how I wrapped up my pride, by stealing the taxi man's cleaning essentials. Kim Woodburn here. Hello, Lavi.
Well, we actually should do a little shout out for the Party Delights people, which is Party City, just in case anyone is looking for balloons. Have to say, 2 years in a row, they've really looked after us. And the stuff that they did for us for our pride was actually lovely. Really, really nice.
Good. And really super sound to deal with. So. Yeah.
And we're not paid to say this. They just gave us a discount. So like,
and they didn't have to. We didn't like.
We didn't even ask for one.
They're sound allies, basically, is what we're saying.
Yeah. So if you do have a party coming up, fully bloody recommend them. So good.
Well, listen, we have an interview on today's podcast because this is 2 years in the making, this interview.
Yes.
We're very, very excited to have this person in. We have been putting the legwork in, trying to get her like nailed down for so long.
Yeah.
She's the doyenne of like drag in Ireland, basically.
I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like she really kind of carved out a lot of the scene for
She's
us.
A proper, proper trailblazer. And I just feel like pride's just gone, but I feel like there's so much about the past that we kind of don't really know about, especially younger generations, I suppose, probably don't know either.
Yeah. No, she drops loads of juicy names. Mm. And when I say me and Davina kept looking at each other going, we're in our element.
Yeah.
You guys are going to be in your element.
We have Ireland's most misleading lady. Mm. We have Mr. Pussy who's going to be joining us. And we're very excited.
We'll be back right after this.
Yeah. Okay, and we are joined by a very, very special guest. And this is the longest time we've been trying to get this lady in here. She is the queen.
Top of the list. Top, we wanted her from the start.
Top of the list. And I'm so glad, finally, we got you in here. Literally, like, we had to beg, steal, and borrow to get her in here. She is the queen of drag in my eyes. She has, like, basically, as far as I'm concerned, she's the first drag queen I ever heard of. She's the first drag queen that's ever been in Ireland that's made an amazing career. She's Ireland's most misleading lady.
Basically, Davina's trying to say it's her fault we're here in general. Yeah,
so blame her.
She caused all this.
We have the amazing Mr. Pussy is here. And Hi, Mr. Pussy, how are you?
How are you, boys or girls?
Oh, boys,
actually, I was very surprised when I came into this studio. Oh. If you could see it, ladies and gentlemen, it's full of wigs and costumes and nice bottle of champagne.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Well, I tell you, Pussy, you're the only guest that we've ever had in that we've cracked open the drinks.
Well, I said it was very nice. We were needed this weather.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm delighted to be here. And yes, it has taken a long time.
I'm so glad because especially I think this is a great time. I think with Pride and everything that's going on,
fully,
it's perfect timing. But like, let's get into it, like, because we don't want to keep you all day, although we could literally
because there's a lot of stories in you, I know.
Like, as we were saying, you basically were the first ever drag queen in Ireland.
I was, actually.
There
used to be one, people like Cecil Sheridan man putting a frock on, trying to be funny and whatever. But
not glam, like your vibe.
Same thing in England, actually. Yeah. When I started in England, the Vauxhall Tavern used to have shows on.
Yeah.
And the acts that were on there were the traditional, you know, like shop window dummy wigs and the long dresses. And I said to the landlady, Peggy.
Yeah.
Peggy, we didn't actually say it, but it was Peggy Ritchie.
Oh, well.
Peggy Ritchie.
Yeah.
Anyway, she said, I can do better than that. She said, well, I dare you.
Yeah.
Because my profession was making wigs and fitting wigs.
Oh, wow. Okay,
yeah.
I fitted wigs for Marlene Dietrich.
Oh, wow.
No way.
Dirk Bogart, Judy Garland. I'll tell you a story about her in a minute.
Yeah.
And anyway, she said, well, I dare you to do it.
Yeah.
So I said, all right. And there was another guy that I knew called Jeffrey Claridge.
Okay.
Who I didn't get on very well, but he was quite good looking.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And he used to get up and sing. And I thought, well, I'm not going to get up and do it on my own. So I went up and said, fancy doing an act?
Yeah.
He said, all right, how much are we going to get?
So you were like a double act.
Yeah, Pussy and Beau.
Oh, very good.
We were very popular. We went all over England.
What year was this? Like, what was the time?
1965, 66.
Wow, amazing. Yeah. And that was your first ever experience, like, literally.
No, dear. It was always parties.
Okay.
In the early 60s, and lots of the queens were in the Merchant Navy. Oh, they worked for an airline, and they used to bring home all these show LPs, you know, like Gypsy and you know, all those ones.
Yeah, for sure.
And at the parties, we used to get up and do the numbers from the shows and mime.
At the parties?
At the parties.
Oh, I love that. That's a party I'd like to go to.
they were wonderful. Yeah. And terrific. And of course, the feathers and wigs and all that.
And the 60s, of course, though, was like such a glam time, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
Was it for drag, though?
The story going back to Peggy, right? And the Vauxhall. So we said, all right, we'll do an act. And the first night we hadn't got a clue.
Yeah.
We had an old record player, we put the microphone up to the speaker on the record player. And then we could afford to buy a tape recorder, which we did. But when I finished the show that night, Peggy said, we're very good. She said, but next time you wear a pair of stockings, make sure the line goes straight down the leg, not around the leg.
Tights are one of those things that you need to figure out
definitely.
So then we went from strength to strength. And then we used to do the Sunday mornings and have our lunch there and then do Sunday nights.
Wow.
I mean, we're getting bookings in other venues around London and around the country.
Yeah.
And Mike McGraw, who's known professionally as, was the PR for Carnaby Street.
Okay.
And he said, well, we'll do a fashion shoot on you as a girl.
Okay.
And they did, and nobody knew. I was in Titbits, Weekend Magazine, News of the World, Queen Magazine. Marjorie Proops did a full page on me.
Oh,
no way.
And as dressed as a girl, nobody knew.
Yeah.
And
what was the vibe? Because, like, you know, like in the 60s as well, there was that kind of like slightly androgynous kind of vibe.
Well, there was a drag boom in the 60s as well, you know, because Danny LaRue started it all off in a way because he was in a play called Come Spy With Me in the Whitehall Theatre in 1965.
Yeah.
And Barbara Windsor was in there. Wow. She was a great old mate of mine. She was Camp Barbara Windsor.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And that's how I got to know him first.
Yeah.
So then there became sort of a drag boom.
Oh, wow.
In England in the late 60s.
So was there many queens?
Loads were at it, yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds like too many were at it, do you know what I mean?
Saturated.
Which is a bit like now, actually. It's a bit of a boom.
Yeah, isn't that so true. And do you kind of feel like, because some people say that like drag has a bit of a kind of like, it's like a pendulum. So it swings, like, so it'll be really popular 1 minute and then it goes kind of uncool.
So it was very popular just after the wars, the First World War. A lot of people in the entertainment business that were in the army.
Yeah.
Used to entertain the troops, but then afterwards they had nothing to do, so they went on tour.
Right,
there were lots of shows like Soldiers and Skirts, and
totally
Splinters, and
they were all kind of like straight lads, weren't they? They were, because it was like
not
it wasn't, but no. But you know, like they were
how
kind
straight
of,
are we talking as well?
No, yeah. But you know, like you could, like it was never really associated with like the gay thing. It was more just like it was like it was entertainment. An art form,
but they were like the Olympia Theatre when I came here first. Mm. I went to see a show there. It was an old time musical. There was a couple of drag queens on that.
Wow.
Terry Dennis and Billy Wells.
Wow.
But they were the old traditional type, you know? With the old makeup and the rouge and the wig like that. The wig like that.
A few of them. Wig like
the crash helmet wigs.
Like these ones here on the wall. Yes. Mm.
So anyway, we split up, me and Bo. His boyfriend didn't want him to do drag anymore.
Oh, well. There's always one, isn't there? There's always a boyfriend that comes along and ruins it.
She went back into it. She didn't make as much money as I have.
And they always come back, by the way. That's the other thing.
So I went off on my own then, and I was booked. We were both booked to work in Belfast in 1969 in the Intercontinental and the Piccadilly. There were nightclubs, big nightclubs in Belfast. And we split up, and the governor, Danny Rice, had heard about it. So he flew over to London to see me work on my own.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
I passed the audition.
Yeah.
And went to Belfast. I was only booked for a week.
Yeah.
But when I arrived, I got television, and actually the first one of the first people to interview me was Gloria Honeyford.
Oh, that's iconic.
She came in with a little tape recorder and a microphone, and I was in full drag at the bar, and she walked past me three times. she wouldn't believe it was a fella.
Oh, wow. And what was she? Was she nice?
She's lovely, girl. Yeah. She's a darling.
Yeah. So that was Belfast. And
but then that week.
Yeah.
Turn into nearly a month
in Belfast
due to public demand.
Wow.
And then I went around Northern Ireland and I said, we'll go to Dublin before we go back to London. And I came to Dublin and I met Jim McGettigan, who had the Bagot Inn.
Mm.
And
which is now Zico.
Okay,
the Bagot Inn, you two started there, Christy Moore, Tin Lizzy.
Yeah.
They all came in after me.
I enjoyed that.
But I was in there and we called it. He said, I have a room upstairs, an empty room upstairs in the bar. What can you use it if you want to? Mm. I said, we're going for a week or so.
Yeah.
And we call it Mr. Pussy's Parlour.
I love it.
Love.
And I went in that week, went into 2 years.
Oh, my God.
Resident.
Wow.
And all the gang from The Doll. Michael Higgins used to come and see us.
Wow.
Yeah. When he was a kid.
And I'd say that must have been like great fun.
But then I used to do two or three shows a night sometimes.
What?
And then back to the bag and in and out and back. Yeah.
What time, what timelines would you be working at? Like to do three shows in a night, what time would you kind of
work
at?
Open the bag at in, say about 8 o'clock.
Right.
Do half an hour.
Yeah.
Terry Willis would come in and do his spot.
Yeah.
I'd go and do the Drake Inn.
Yeah.
In Finglas. And half an hour there. And then you'd used to double up with the Tudor Rooms.
Yeah.
You'd do a half an hour there.
Uh huh.
And then back and close the show in the bag at in.
That's a lot of money in your bra. That is a lot of money. The boobs are just getting bigger as the night went along.
I've been tucking it away for years.
We always talk about that now because you know the way now everything is like cards. Everyone's paid by cards.
Yeah.
And we used to love just like, you know, you get cash and you straight into the bra. And we always do like sweaty titty money.
Sweaty titty money. That's what we call it. Favorite payment to sweaty titty money.
But Rory Cowan managed me for a while. You know, for Mrs. Brown. And I used to say to you, have you got the handbag? Yeah, that means, have you been paid?
Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh.
And I used to insist that wherever I went and still do that, I won't go on stage unless the money's in the bank or I'm paid up front.
Very good. Yeah.
And I'd be in the dressing room and I'd say, have you got the handbag yet? No, not yet. That's what you know. I'm not going on. And he went out and said to the owner, well, it's not going on and he gets paid.
Yeah.
The governor said, well, it's not, I'm not going to have him back again. And Bobby said, I don't think he'd be too concerned about it.
Yeah.
Just make sure. And got the money yet? No. And he came. I said, have you got the handbag? He said, yes. I said, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I love you to be.
That's a great bit of advice, though, isn't it?
Because we've been burnt. We've both been burnt in terms of payments over the years. And sometimes I still forget it. And I'm like,
the old tricks they got up to. Oh, his manager's not here. No, I'll be back later. No.
Yeah.
Have a drink at the bar. You spend all your money back around the room. And then they pay you in notes and they'd fold a note over. And then do that, count it like that, you know, and then be folded over one. So,
oh my God, the fuckers.
And they say, oh, we had a bad night tonight, you know. I said, well, if you're looking for sympathy, you find it in the dictionary between shite and syphilis.
That one's staying with us. That one is going to be repeated.
Oh, that's so good, Fuzzy. That's a classic. So yeah, so you ended up staying for 2 years of then.
Wow.
Did you
the bag of them? Two years. I went all over Ireland working, and then I got my own road show together.
Well, okay.
Mr. Pussy Road Show, and I had my own band, Compare, girl singer, and me, and we travelled everywhere. There wasn't a venue in Ireland that had a cabaret venue I didn't do.
Yeah. Wow.
In the '70s and
eighties. That's wild.
And we did Ireland's first adult pantomime, which was quite fun.
Amazing.
I heard you were like Ireland's number one top cabaret entertainer, like for like many years on the trot. Mm. You were, weren't you?
Until you lot came along. Oh.
Those pesky kids.
Kids, we wish.
That's amazing though. Like it's such, I just think of you as like just such a trailblazer.
Yeah, for
like,
real.
For drag. And also, do you know, it's like your drag was so glam.
Yes.
It wasn't like, you know.
Well, that's the thing. In London, when we started out, as I said, all the other queens just wear the long dresses. Well, yeah. We couldn't afford them anyway.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So we used to go to C&A and buy a little miniskirt or white boots or whatever. Go on and do modern numbers, which has never been done before.
Yeah.
And just
people loved it.
People used to come and see us. Judy Garland used to come and see us.
Oh, wow.
Quite often.
Yeah,
she came in with Johnny Ray. He was a friend of mine.
Yeah,
and he was best man at her wedding, and we were on stage. There was this little figure standing up on one of the pillars in the Boxer Tavern with a headscarf on.
Yeah,
and it was Judy Garland.
Wow.
Oh my God,
she was with Johnny Ray, and then she came in again.
Yeah,
and she invited us back to the Muse she lived in.
Yeah.
In Chelsea. What was his name? Mickey Deans, I think his husband's name was Mickey. Mickey. And we went back and I said, I'm dying to use the loo. She said, well, honey, use my can.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you were saying before what you used to do with the wigs, you were saying like you had a story for, was it Marlene and Dietrich used to do, and who was the other person you said?
We did Judy Dench, which was in Cabaret.
Wow.
We did Juliet Prowse for Sweet Charity.
Wow.
Oh my God.
And everybody's anybody there.
Well, any of them that were L Wagons.
Dietrich could be a bit of an
No, were they all wearing wigs because it was easier or?
Easier.
Just get a bit more.
She used to wear what they call 3/4 wigs.
Okay.
Which is her own hair in the front.
Heard a rumor now, I don't know if it's true, that Dietrich used to use, you know, like clamps.
Fish hooks.
Yeah. Is that true?
Tiny little fish hooks.
Wow.
But also she used to plait her own hair.
Oh, right.
At the sides, like, at the temples.
And pull it back.
Put an elastic band on it, stretch it.
Oh, my God.
Somebody had his foot on the back of her neck. And they pull it.
Oh, wow. Like she was hardcore. Wasn't she? Yeah.
So that's how she had that. We used to sing, where have all the wrinkles gone? Long time passing. Where have all the wrinkles gone? Had they made into a bun?
Brilliant. Have you ever tried that? Like taping your face?
Yeah,
out
it's tape.
It's hard to get through a show though. No, it feels like you're a little.
Bit off. Photographs.
Really, I did it once. I was doing a show, but then once I dropped, like I was having a stroke.
Palsy, isn't it?
Lift Bell's palsy.
Yes, very bad.
That. So then you ended up staying obviously in Dublin then, did you?
Yes, I stayed in Dublin.
Yeah. You never went back then?
Well, I went back to see my mum. I went back to see my mates and whatever.
Yeah.
And I did go, I was going to leave Ireland in the 90s.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I went back to London and I was only there for 2 or 3 weeks. I thought, well, no, I can't. I have to go back.
Yeah. Yeah. And what was Dublin like when you first came? But like, what was it about Dublin?
Let's say Ireland then was innocent.
Was it?
Yeah, very innocent.
Okay. Okay.
They didn't know what to expect when I went to do my show. Yeah.
And you would have been coming from London, so you weren't so innocent.
Not at all.
Not at all. So that's what, like...
Could you be shocking? Like, could you say things?
No, you wouldn't get away then.
Okay.
Yeah.
With what you can get away with now.
Yeah.
Like, oh, the dirty cow.
Your car's
that donkey
there.
Dead, yeah?
Huh?
What?
Is that donkey still alive?
Dead and watered.
Yes.
Oh, no, but it's great. I used to look forward to travelling around Ireland and you stay over overnight and travel back.
When people met you in drag, because still to this day, like, we get weird looks, we kind of get weird reactions sometimes. People say really inappropriate things and maybe they don't realize how inappropriate. Like, if I hear "you're very tall" one more time, I feel like I'm gonna be, yeah, tell me something I don't know.
Who said that? Oh, there you are down there.
I like that.
Keep an edge out of my business.
But how were people towards you, especially around smaller towns?
Well, I remember we did a show in Bray. And it was attached to a convent.
Oh, wow.
And I had to get ready in the Mother Superior's bathroom.
Oh, my God. And what did the nuns say to that?
They loved it. Because I didn't do anything but naughty. And I just went on and did a Sandy Shaw number, I think it was.
Okay. Very good. Yeah. That's, so then... So
probably made their week, to be fair. They were like...
Oh, they loved it.
Yeah.
So they'd all heard about this Mr. Pussy, you see.
Okay.
They were, everybody in the country... Because I got the late as well, you know.
Yeah. Actually, I have to then, ask you, what? Where did the name Mr. Pussy come from?
Well, I used to look like a cat. So you have like cat's eyes.
Oh, okay. I love it. It's
feline. Pussy, yeah.
I love it.
I have to say, we did Ireland AM on Saturday and we were talking about drag and drag in Ireland and we were talking about you and the presenter named you and I really enjoy being on TV or at that moment where they say your name in 2023. Yeah. It's just it feels like, absolutely.
Is that Elaine? Elaine.
Yeah.
She's your darling.
She loves you.
She was absolutely loving you. But she loves her stuff too.
Yeah. And then at that time, it was fashionable to call yourself Mr.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like Mr. Okay. Mr. Danny LaRue.
Yeah.
Another queen called Mr. Marlena.
Was that to let people know? Like,
Gazer.
Yeah, like basically, yeah.
But then, I got the Late Late Show. So I've done this Late Late 6 times, you know.
Yeah.
I don't realize that.
Yeah.
And the first time I did it, they said, go on and do a number and then come on and sit down and join the panel afterwards.
Yeah.
So I went on and did the number. And they said, and before you go back and sit down, my own hair was long then.
Yeah.
Mm.
They said, would you put your hair behind your shirt collar and do a tie up?
Oh, wow. Butch.
Uh-huh.
I look more like a Voltres lesbian than I definitely done if I'd just...
Why did they ask you to do that?
That's the way it was, in case it offended anybody.
Wow.
Okay.
That's wild, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like... God, it just goes to show kind of how far we've come, but
there's lots of programs that develops from those days, like Tangents and Nationwide, Live at 3, those wonderful programs I've done over the years.
Yeah.
It's been great.
Can I ask about the makeup? Because obviously makeup's come so, such a long way. I've always been fascinated with your lips. I think you are the lip queen, to be honest. Yeah.
You know, I got them siphoning petrol.
You do a good lip, do you know what I mean?
A pussy kiss.
But the makeup was always gorgeous. Like, lots of people, it takes a bit of a time to figure it out. But like, you had less products on offer. Now we've got all these potions and magic stuff that is like helping us do a transformation.
Well, and let's face it, I do need them now. You put on first? The
foundation?
The primer.
Oh, the primer, yeah.
I went into the local hardware shop and said, I'm getting primer, please. What's it for? I said, my face.
A wood primer.
But was there certain things that you, like, were the other girls sharing the beauty secrets or were they holding them?
Well, there was Jennifer Scott. She was the sister of Barry. But Barry then, but she was the sister of George Logan, Engine Bracket.
Yeah.
And she used to do the most incredible eyes with the lower lashes. And we used to call them Miss Scott eyes.
Lovely.
Two pairs of lashes on top.
Yeah.
And then the eyes going like that, and then the lines going up.
We have 60s eye kind of vibe. And then there's
4 lashes along the line underneath.
Nice.
That's when it was glam, like 60s glam look. But was there many products available to you? Or was it like...
No, there wasn't, but we used to Leishner was always five and nine.
Yeah.
Leishner fives and nine.
But your makeup was always glam and like almost like sexy vibe, whereas like, you know, you'd see some like queens from that era, or as you were saying,
it's overdone. Like, yeah. Your makeup's incredible. Both of you actually. Yeah, I've seen you on stage too, and I think it's incredible.
Thank you.
So it's been a journey, to be honest. Mostly for Davina. She started out as a dog, to be honest.
I know.
I told her everything she knows. To be honest, the first year I did drag, I would do everything except my eyes because I was too afraid to do the eyes. And I'd be just sitting there waiting like a puppy on the bottom step going,
I try stuff out on her. I'd be like, I give this a go.
And lots of it was not successful.
No, I was like, I won't use that again.
But it's getting more difficult now because I have to wear contact lenses now on stage, obviously. And the old lines,
you
can only get so much done.
So do I. I'm blind as a bat. Like, I have to wear contacts online. Can't see a thing. And then, do you know what? I fought it for ages because sometimes you wouldn't see people in the crowd. So I used to quite like that.
People shouldn't like this. Yeah.
People should be avoiding.
There was a friend of mine, David Gordon.
Yeah.
He's a character. He lived in Cork. And when I went to Cork first, I did it a week at a time in Moore's Hotel.
Yeah.
And I remember being up in the room looking out the window. And there was a queue of people going all around the block. I thought it must be church service or something. And I said to the guys, I said, what's the queue for? He said, it's for you.
Oh, well.
So I thought, And they say, if you can please a Cork audience, you can work anywhere.
Oh, true. Wow.
So I did the week and I became a good friend of David Gordon, who was the ballet master.
Yeah.
For the Irish Ballet. He worked with Joan Denise Moriarty.
Yeah.
He used to call her joined at the knees. And I used to stay with David. And we went to a party once down in a farm.
Okay.
Right. And we stayed overnight. And the next morning I woke up and I heard this voice coming from downstairs. It was David. He was saying, I've arrived. My ambition is fulfilled. I've arrived. It's happened. I always wanted to do this. I've always wanted to sleep in a four-poster bed. And it was under the kitchen table in the farmhouse. It just shows you what a camp queen he is, David.
I love.
And speaking of camp queens, so like at that time, like you would have been performing to like predominantly like straight audiences.
Nobody would say they were going those days.
Well, see, that's the thing.
But it was always, I could always tell at least 20 in front row.
Yeah.
A few at the back.
Because that's it.
What was it like actually, in terms of being gay when you first arrived into Dublin?
Well, the only bars were Bartley Dunn's, which was a theatrical bar.
Okay, so it wasn't actually gay as such.
But it was screaming.
Yeah.
I've Googled a lot about Bartley Dunn's to see, like, for anyone that doesn't know, that is now where the Grafton Hotel was.
Yeah.
And if you're around a little bit longer,
you'd
remember.
It's called Bartley Dunn's again now, actually.
It is. They've called the basement Bartley's again. But, actually did a gig there recently.
Did you?
Still stuck in the basement. 20 years later, we are again.
But Bartley Dunn was an English fellow who came over here and he had two sons, Joey and Barry, who ran the bar. But Bartley Dunn was the name of the father. And Barry used to shut at 11 o'clock, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You don't go out to that time now, do you?
Yeah. No, it's exactly.
10 o'clock on Sunday.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm not mad at that. I'd love that.
No. And I used to live in Mount Street then and I used to bag it in as well. And I'd finish the show and come home. And the place would be full of people. It'd be parties every night.
Oh, God. That's the era I should have been in.
Yeah.
That's
your heaven.
It is.
Out till 11, then back to a party somewhere.
Yeah. Pussy, that is my heaven. Literally, I would love that.
On the streets, though, like if people...
Not safer. You could walk on them.
You could, yeah. And even if people were to assume that someone was gay, did they get any hassle or how was it?
Well, I should get taxes, darling.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
But I still do. I wouldn't walk on the streets of Dublin anymore. My
that was crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Dreadful.
Yeah, we've
what's
been
going
talking about
on,
that.
You know?
It is.
So sad.
I'd love to know about the cafe because it's kind of one of those things that in dressing rooms, we speak about all the time, but I hear the story secondhand and that era of it. So.
Yeah. Well, how did you progress from like...
you mean with Bono and all that?
Yeah, how did that... tell us, because that's a juicy. So how did you progress from being like, you know, like the number one showgirl of Ireland, we're traveling around, then to kind of like...
Well, when I was in the balcony and I met Paul McGuinness, who was a student in Trinity.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And Paul became U2's manager.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And they used to appear in the Dandelion Market I think it was Saturday afternoons.
Okay.
And I used to go and see them. And then Jim Sheridan.
Yeah.
I was in a play called Halfpenny Place.
Okay.
In the project.
Yeah.
In drag. It was based on a Throckmorton opera. And Mannix Flynn played main character.
Oh, my gosh.
And June Ann Crowley. And
the politician.
And she was his girlfriend, and I was his bit on the side.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There was a scene where we had to go and visit him in prison. And we nearly clawed each other's eyes out, me and her. And I won. And me and Mannix were in the cell. And every night I actually give him a kiss, a full-on lips kiss.
Okay.
And the first night that happened, people got out and walked out.
Really?
Disgraceful carry-on.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's must have been a good kiss, though. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but until it ended up, he was eating garlic and I was eating onions.
That's true love.
That's true love.
It was the same way I had to be shot every night, bang.
Yeah.
And one night the gun didn't go off. I was dying, so it's all these fucking silences.
So you met Paul, so how did it then progress to...
Oh, then, how can we go from there then? I used to go and see them. And then I met Gavin Friday.
Yeah.
In Lily's. And I've said how long I'd been in Ireland. He said, I must do a song about Mr. Pussy, which he did. Called Mr. Pussy.
Oh, wow.
It's on his album, Shag Tobacco.
You wow, fab.
Yeah, Gavin Friday, Shag Tobacco, Mr. Pussy.
There you go.
Let me repeat that again.
Do you know what we should do? Let's get, Stephen, will you put an insert
play it.
Of that song when you're editing it? He'll
tell
pop
us
in.
The story of 1969, my favorite year.
Love it.
Mr. Pussy. His favorite year, a bony balloon did disappear from the Vauxhall.
Anyway, that was it. And we were out one night and Bono was there and the boys. And I said, you know, I wouldn't mind opening a little cafe somewhere. I'd be now at Camden, showbiz players.
Yeah.
And Bono said, you serious? I said, yeah. He said, well, who do you get there? I said, well, I know you. You'd be there, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
So, I had a party in my house and Gavin was there and they said, come and have a chat with me in the hallway. So we went into the hall and all the people in the living room. He said, they're opening up a cafe.
Wow.
I said, that's fabulous.
Yeah.
Where? In Suffolk Street. Oh, and who's going to be involved? It's in you.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
We're going to call it Mr. Puss's Cafe Deluxe. It was the Edge who named it Mr. Puss's
Love
Cafe
it.
Deluxe. So we opened.
Yeah.
And
what year was this now?
94.
Okay, cool. And that was, there was a big buzz around town, wasn't there?
Everybody, the biggest stars in the world. Barry Manilow came and went to the pod with him and drag I was.
Oh,
and,
fab.
What's his other man? The other actor, Mel Gibson.
Okay. Yeah.
Sean Connery came in one night, looked at me and went, very interesting. Marion Faithfull, Ronnie Woods used to come in and do that. I was the first one to do bingo. We used to do bingo at midnight and 2 o'clock in the morning.
And I heard there was like, because the license laws, you'd have to have, was
red or white tea.
Red or white tea. Yeah. See, this is the era. I
never heard
like
that. That's
red
so
or white tea.
Red or white tea.
Yeah. Vader worked with us there.
She
was a waitress and she served the meals on her roller skates, roller blades.
No way.
Which is so ironic because she's terrible balance.
But did Shirley work there as well? And
that was a different cafe.
Okay.
But we used to do the bingo. Ronnie would be there and we're waiting for one number and everybody would be talking to him, saying, shut up, wait for a number.
Ronnie Woods too?
Ronnie was got his camp, yes.
Oh, my God.
And he was win a prize and it just be a dessert.
Oh, well.
Apple crumble or something. He did, like, made up with himself.
And what time?
And Naomi Campbell.
Yeah.
Chrissy Turlington.
She used to go out with The Edge, didn't she, at the time?
Adam.
Yeah, Adam.
But we had a display cabinet. We had Bono's gold shoes from horns and stuff from Divine. You know Divine in here?
Yes.
She sent me over.
Wow.
Wow.
Where is that? Where are those bits now?
They're in storage.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And Naomi Campbell gave me a pair of her knickers.
So I heard this and I didn't believe it.
No, she did. And she wrote them from one pussy to another.
That is amazing.
And the next night, Chrissy Turlington was coming in and she'd heard that you'd have to give something.
Yeah.
And she came and she had her bra
Yeah.
hanging out of the side of her jeans. I said, you dirty cow, you just jumped out of the bed. Who was he? We've got to get dressed quick enough. But it was for me to put under display.
Oh, amazing.
Amazing.
And was there anyone that had come in? Because that's a lot of celebrities. Was there anyone that was just like an arsehole, basically? Was there anyone that was difficult?
A lot of people say Van Morrison is a miss, but I mean, really? I tell you, he was going out with Michelle
Rocker.
Mm. And they used to come in and they'd be the last to leave. And they would go back and have a drink with them.
Yeah.
This is the honest truth. I had my dog Lily with me then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'd say, I'd go back to the Shelburne, maybe up to the suite.
Yeah.
And he'd be there on the settee and he had the guitar and he'd be singing to me and whoever was there in the room.
Yeah.
And I'd leave the next morning with Lily.
Yeah.
And at daylight, he was a gentleman. I never found him rude.
Wow. Yeah.
In any way at all.
I think he just kind of has that face that he looks kind of angry, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. But I think he's just kind of a bit more quiet. Him. That's amazing. That's See, now these are the stories. These are the things that I say, this is drag to me.
Yeah.
Having these experiences is like,
because Liam Neeson, another hunk.
Yeah, he is a hunk, isn't
another gentleman.
Still is.
Yeah.
I saw him. Yeah. And if the stories are to be believed about Liam Neeson, I'm just going to make a noise on the table. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's
donkey dick.
Yes.
He doesn't shake it, he kicks it.
I love it. So the cafe was there from 94. And when did that finish up?
The thing is, if I wasn't there, people would be giving out. People come and says, Bono here.
Yeah.
And say, he's out the back peeling the potatoes for the chips.
Yeah.
But I met some good friends from there. Andy Bell has become a great mate.
Yeah.
Wow. Keep in touch with him a lot.
That's amazing. And Boy George used to come over a bit, didn't he?
Yeah. That's vegetarian fab. Burger.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Vegetarian burger.
In a bright red suit.
And what time would you wrap up? At what time would you be all kicking
when we
out?
Opened first, we opened all night.
Oh, wow.
24 hours.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah.
So that's why they were all there. They knew that's where the good party was going to happen.
And the biggest names, R.E.M.
Yeah.
They were in. And his PR had a headache and I brought her downstairs. Gave her an aspirin or something like that, a cup of coffee in the staff room. And then they were coming back to do some shows and they had a big party in one of the castles, I can't think where it was, and I was first on the list.
Wow, amazing.
For the party.
Yeah.
Love it. Just because I looked after his...
Yeah. Well, that's what, like, you always have to be... I think if the way you treat people, they always remember it, don't they? Always remember it.
And always look after the queens. They will look after you. Yeah. In a way.
So, Pussy
and then... Then I was asked if I wanted to do a book and I've been putting it off for years and I did do the book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Called Before I Forget to Remember.
Yeah, which I have a copy.
Which is a great title, by the way.
Yeah.
Signed and everything.
Like that. Came to me.
Was there a few titles that you had in mind?
No. I always said, because when I did the Late, I sort of do a book.
Yeah.
This is years before it actually happened. And the name came out like, so we're going to call it. And I thought,
brilliant. Brilliant. And more recently, like the Wax Museum.
The Wax Works. And, oh my God. Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty impressive. Mm. Like, I don't know how many Irish celebrities have ended up in there, but like to be in there in general.
It's nice to be up there because a lot of people understand where I am. I knew.
Yeah.
That Phil Lynott.
Yeah.
And his mother.
She was lovely, wasn't she?
Yeah.
So nice.
Yeah. Now, obviously, your background was in wig making. So to get a wax work and to be happy with it, especially when it comes to makeup and hair for a queen, let alone someone who professionally made wigs, that must mean quite a lot of approvals.
I still want to do it the way I'd like to see it. But
yeah.
Okay.
But in there, it drops a bit. And you need to wear one of these, I think. I'm surrounded by wigs. It's wonderful.
And actually, that's kind of like moving on, because like that it was great to see you being honored like that.
I think
that it's kind of like immortalized.
It is. Yes. It's very strange, actually, to be asked to do that. And it was a great honor,
And not many people get that in their lifetime, which is amazing.
And the messages I got too from Brendan O'Carroll and Paul O'Grady and Joan Collins.
Yeah, I was there. It was unreal. Yeah, it was so good.
Joan Collins. And said, darling pussy, enjoy the waxing.
What's it like being so close to a replica of yourself, though? Like, does it feel a bit strange?
Well, it's going to be very strange in a few years' time because this poor old face, as it is now, looking at that.
and as you said, like from the kind of the cafe days. You must have seen then like the new wave of kind of drag coming along, the likes of Panty and Vader.
TV dinners and all that stuff one night a week. And yeah. it all being. And yeah. Oh, yeah. The first alternative, I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we did it one at the Olympia. Oh, yeah, that was the Olympia. I judged that.
And what did you think of when the new kind of queens were coming along? Because that would have been kind of different drag again, wouldn't right, it? It's a different yeah. kind of... Like, what
yeah,
did you think?
I said, I opened the door and let them out.
Yeah. You'd, no, you did. You did. You, no, you actually did.
Because like, they're everywhere, every town now. In yeah. And,
it's wild. And what, when you think of drag now, when you see the way drag has gone now, we know with RuPaul's Drag Race on TV and like, I think social media. And, well, like, what do you make of drag now, nowadays?
Well, I always followed the tradition.
Yeah.
You know, like getting up and entertaining
yeah.
an hour or so.
Yeah.
Jokes, storyline.
Yeah. yeah.
Letting them know I'm a guy underneath it all.
Yeah.
But the way that some of the girls are now, it's completely different. So I can't criticize it. It's the way yeah. they do it. Yeah. You know? So I admire them
it's
for that.
It's just different.
But I do like that. I think that, like, I mean, I respect anyone who can get up and entertain someone in another kind of way. I think that's
if
like,
you can, if you can get away, if you yeah, can. But some of them, I'm not going to yeah. mention any names. But
of course, yeah.
There are quite a few I've seen that. So.
Davina Devine.
yeah. No, but you know, it's dive. True. All right, Dive.
All right, Dive.
Every time she rings you, she's like, arrow, Dive. But it's true though, and that's what like I love a drag queen that can entertain yeah. Whether it's performing, whether it's kind of being funny. Like I think it has you have to be able to hook people yeah. in and yeah, keep their attention.
You know, the more years you do it, the more experience
that's true
you
as
get.
Well. Yeah,
there is that one is joke true. That sticks with me, and I don't know why it sticks with me that you say, or that one of the times I saw you, you're like some guy was in the crowd, and it was just out of nowhere. You looked at him up and down. You're like, "Oh, I didn't know you were Jewish."
He's sitting with his legs spread,
and I fell around the place laughing. Like randomly, I will say that to Davina still yeah. to this day.
I'm just gonna off my nose.
But you're so quick. Like yes. even I saw you were doing recently, you were doing a drag brunch in Foley's, and I saw Amanda Brunker said, "Oh, you look fabulous." And you said, "I wish I could say the same," like straight away.
I don't remember.
Straight
that.
Away. Like you literally.
But
like,
listen now. Yeah, did I don't remember
yeah,
that.
It was so funny. And like they held, but it's like the. So quick. So like
I love it when I get the opportunity, I'm gonna drink. Somebody comes by with a pint of Guinness.
Yeah.
It's gone in 2 seconds.
Have you always been that quick though?
Are you well you had to be.
Yeah.
Otherwise you'd be thrown off.
And know? what about hecklers like back in the day? Would there be a lot of hecklers?
No, Danny, you'll never get piles. You're a perfect asshole.
Oh, that's very good. That's very good.
Don't write it down, just tick it off.
Yeah.
Just tick it off. Oh God. I feel like you have seen it all, and there's probably as only a touch of the yeah. the real drama stories that were happening. You clocked up a lot of true friends from what I can tell over the years, but Paul O'Grady was one that was going to come to Dublin recently.
Yeah.
And we were all very, very sad to hear about his passing. He was going to come to do the Borg Gash, and you Mrs. were telling
Hannigan,
us just before
yeah.
that you were very excited to
because
see him.
Because I spent Christmas with him 1 year, and I arrived and we brought the luggage in from the car.
Yeah.
Now, because we were in that movie In the Name of the Father
yes,
together.
I was in that as well. I was only a child. I wasn't a drag queen. I was a child.
Yeah.
I was only 8.
She was, yeah.
God,
yeah.
And I was blonde.
Yeah, oh.
But we were in that and we shared a caravan for 6 weeks together. Can you imagine? 7 in the morning. So we became very dear friends.
Oh, wow.
But it was all cut out.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We called ourselves, we said we're two transvestite murderers. What can we call ourselves? So I said, well, I can call myself Stella Crippen.
Oh, yeah? Like
and
Dr.
You are Rita Hindley. No, as in my So I used to get Christmas cards every year to Rita Stella from Rita.
Oh, amazing.
And when I was down there one Christmas, got out of the car, went into the farm, and he said, Stella, try that on, girl. It was an overcoat.
Yeah.
So I tried it on. It's Fitcher. I said, yeah, it's yours.
Yeah.
I said, what do you mean it's mine? Why are you giving me an overcoat? It was Cary Grant's.
Oh,
you know the actor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the sort of friend he was. You go out and get something you knew I'd love.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. That's so lovely. And we were talking, we were actually going to go see
Annie.
Paul in Annie. He was with Hannigan and Annie. Mm. And we were actually just talking about all going together. And such a shame we never got to do that.
Because I had the dog Lily at the time when he was in one of the years.
Yeah.
And he used to come over to me before we'd have a party in the house. He'd come over early. I said, take her out for a walk. And he'd take Lily for a walk around the shops.
He loved the dogs, didn't he, though?
Yeah.
Yeah. You love dogs as well, actually, don't you?
Yeah, I had two dogs, Lily and Danny, after LaRue. And
yeah.
Oh, very sure. Their ashes are on top of my piano, actually.
I love my little dog as well, I have to say. There's like just, I don't know, there's something about, I think
they're your children. They absolutely
are. I think when you give so much yourself out to entertain you can get so much back from that.
That's really true. A gorgeous German Shepherd, Danny. Yeah. Huge, big dog. Gorgeous. But anyway, Paul was coming over to do Annie in August.
Yeah.
He was looking forward to it and everything. He told all the staff that to book him in probably Shelburne where he used to stay.
Yeah.
But he spent most of the time with me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And one of the times he was over here with me, I used to bring him up his breakfast in the morning.
Yeah.
Cup of tea and a fag.
Now that's glamour.
That is glamour.
That is true glamour.
I think that's probably the best way to leave it, isn't it? Yeah. Thanks so much for coming in and giving us your time, because we've been talking about this for so long, and I truly do think that you're such an icon, and I think you've left such a legacy.
And created space for so many people.
Do you feel that though? Do you feel that you've left a legacy?
No, I don't. Honestly, don't.
Well,
but you must look around.
I think I'm not being all big headed now, but I think since I first started, people always looked at me and pointed me out in a bar and whatever. So you just get used to it.
Yeah.
Okay, fair.
If it doesn't happen, then I'd be annoyed.
I think that's a good way to end it. Well, listen, we are so pleased we had this absolute icon with us. Because you are an icon, and to us in particular, and to me, I just want to say thank you so much for everything that you've done.
You. Can I have one of those wigs?
Absolutely.
You can take whatever you want.
take them all and rewash them, and bring them back when they're done.
She's great.
One by.
And that was Mr. Pussy. Thanks so much.
Again. Good luck, boys.
Thank you.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
So I hope you enjoyed that interview with Mr. Pussy. We are going to go on now to our favorite time of the week. And God, do we have lots of these.
Oh, yes.
It's time for... So we're here with Rotter of the Week, and we have had so many over the last week. So many, so I think there's been so many Rotters. I don't think I can even say some of the Rotters because they're actually
too vile.
They're too hate filled, and they're too, people would know I'm talking about them. So I've pared it back, but I will have to say I'm going to have a few today.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not in any way going to shame myself for it. I'm not going to feel guilty. I'm going to be out and proud and rotted to the core.
Do it. Absolutely do it. So obviously we recorded most of the June stuff at the start of June. So we haven't really recorded in about 3 or 4 weeks, and I can see Davina's list from here and it's bulging, but let me see.
That's not my list.
Okay. My first one is, it's very current. It is very current.
Go for it.
We were just in this hotel. And like we were both rotted by this.
Yes.
Just the rationing of things. Like,
yes.
We were spending money mm-hmm. and small things like
butter,
ketchup. Simple things.
Yes. Bread. Like, this is not wartime, like London. Do you know what I mean? We are not living on like rations. We literally said, now I knew we were going to the fine dining experience.
Right.
So I knew, listen, a slither of, you know, mayonnaise.
We made a mistake there. We did. Yeah. There was chicken wings and a burger in the bar. And that would have been...
Davina Define Dining, I am not. And when I said to the, because I said, can we get some bread straight away? I'm starving.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, sure. So it came out. And then I knew we were going to want more. So I was like, can we get another basket of bread? She looked at me like,
I know.
Three heads.
Yeah.
And then the bread, the new bread came.
I thought it was because her fringe kept getting in her eyes, but I wasn't sure.
The new bread came, but then no butter for this new bread. Yeah, so we're supposed to just eat dry bread. What is this, like the Last Supper?
Yeah.
Judas Iscariot there in the end. Like, hello. Like,
and the pesto was never topped up. I know. Never
topped up. Like, what the fuck? I know. Like, is Wicklow, like, what, further away to get produce to? What's that about? I don't know.
So then we were like, again, next morning, we're like, right, we need more butter. We need more ketchup. Because we asked for ketchup, and all three of us asked for ketchup. Oh, and this tiny little pot came over.
The face on us all. We all like, eye contact each other. We were like, that it?
Right. And we're all sluts for the ketchup. Like, truly. Now, thankfully, they were mini cocktail sausages. So there wasn't a lot of dipping that we could do anyway. Fucking hell. Because that was another rationed thing as well. Tiny little delicate sausages. I was like, have you seen my mouth?
Yeah. Oh, we have. Rationing is our rotter. That is a bona fide. That is a joint rotter. Yeah. I'm here if you have that. Like, if you're going to be paying money, like, it's different if you're like literally living on a budget, going along with your tray at like, you know, buffet.
Yeah.
But still, even then, you'll be able to help yourself.
Yeah. Go on.
My first one is actually just after having a crazy month is Bravo.
Okay.
Bravo not showing Housewives on holiday weekends.
Oh, you are so right with this.
Like, not like any real, like, I don't have many joys in life.
Was there no Atlanta this
Sunday? No Atlanta. And 4th of July happened on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
And that was on Sunday. Mm. Why could they not have shown that on Sunday?
Yeah.
Like, just unnecessary.
So, right. I thought I was going home to watch Atlanta later.
No, you weren't.
So
you weren't watching it. You will not be watching it now till next week. And you know, they might even take another week off just to really fuck you off.
Yeah.
And then
it's not a great season, let's be real.
No, though. But still, it's one fucking pleasure having me fucking miserable life. Like, give me that fucking episode. Mm. And then also, they do it around Christmas.
They do.
Christmas could be happening on a Sunday, and the week before they'll take off an episode. Yeah. Just to spite you. It's like they're trying to really wring every drop out.
100%.
So,
and Housewives to me really is that moment, that 1 hour for yourself that I'm like,
I don't look at my phone. Off.
Just soak it up.
I just take it all in, and it's just, it just let me have it.
Do you want Kim Zolciak to come back to Atlanta?
Yes.
Me too.
Yeah, I need
to happen.
I need some, I just, to be honest, and I would actually love if Nene came back as well.
Yeah.
I don't want Portia back.
I don't want Portia back either.
I don't like Portia.
I don't understand why everyone does like her.
She's fake. I just don't think she's, I'm not into her. I never was.
Husband stealer as well.
Yeah. And then she'd be like, well, who said that? So that's one. What's your next one?
Okay, right. Next one is, at the moment, so my local shops are Spar and a Tesco Express.
Okay.
Spar, great, handy for like little fast bits. Viciously over expensive for a start.
The
like,
Spar.
Yeah. Like, if you want like a 2 liter of Coke Zero, you're talking the guts of €4. Okay. And then the Tesco Express, a little bit further away, but way more choice, better little deals, stuff like that. However, almost still about €4 for a 2 liter of Coke Zero. My current gripe is, why is there deals for me carrying 6 liters of Coke Zero for like almost the same price as one? My arms, I'm already carrying loads of shopping. Do you know what I mean?
But do you not find though lately pricing just doesn't make sense?
It doesn't make sense at all.
No. And it's like in Tesco, in particular, Tesco's like club card price, and it's like half the price.
I know.
And you're like, hang on a second. Since when was the toothpaste €9?
I know.
You're like, this is
that's
out.
So true.
And now, like, I do a lot of my shopping online on the app, which is actually like a godsend. I love.
Do you get the deals on there too?
Yes, you get, and everything you buy on the app goes onto your kind of favorite, so you can see. It's actually very handy.
Yeah,
but it's crazy because when I go into a supermarket, like when I'm walking around, I don't really look at prices. I just I take what I want. I'm just like, yeah,
she's really thrown down their throats this week. That you're privileged.
I know. I never kind of like, you know, I'm not shopping for, like, I'd be walking around with a basket. I'd be buying a few bits. You know,
you're buying Cartier.
Yeah, Cartier diamonds. Tiffany. No, but like, I'm not doing a weekly shop. If I was doing like a family shop, that's different. But I'm like walking around buying like a couple of bits, like a bit of bread. I'm not looking at how much the slice of bread. But when you actually are buying it online, you actually do look at how much you're spending, and then you're kind of like, geez, that's actually very expensive.
Yeah.
Like, and it does make you kind of rethink it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just
think the price of Rennie's gone through the roof as well, girls.
It doesn't make sense at all. It just doesn't.
But also, I don't need to be carrying like 6 liters down the road plus a load of shopping as well.
Yeah.
Just give me a decent price from one two-liter bottle. That sounds so petty, but like, yeah. I also live in a one-bedroom apartment. How many bottles of Coke do you want me to have lined up?
Yes. Okay, so my next rotter is really fucking rocked me.
Go on.
This is actually just such a personal, real bitchy thing to say.
Go on.
It's pregnancy announcements coming from men.
Oh.
You know, ooh, like, going, we're expecting our first child.
You're joking.
Or like, or wedding announcements coming from men.
Is this, are you talking about gays or straights?
More so straight people, to be honest. Okay. We, like, I feel like it's a woman's prerogative. A woman's carrying the baby. She's like, yes, I'm like, guess what? I'm like, I don't really mind that.
Yeah.
But it's something about like, just feels real. I'm scarlet for you. It just feels actually like, oh, we're 2 days till we're getting married, till we're missed, you know, Mr. or Mrs. I'm just like, fuck off. I'm like, I just don't buy it. It's just something women, it's like, I totally believe that. And it's like, they totally, it's their thing.
Yeah.
But there's just something about men saying it, I just find cringe.
So when you say these rotters, all I can do is go, who is it? Who is it? Who is it? Who is it?
No, it's no one you know.
I have no idea who this one is.
And it's just a general observation because I've seen it, and actually a couple of people, and I'm just like, I just don't really buy it, especially when you kind of know the person. You're like, you're saying that for everyone else's benefit.
Yeah.
Because if you know the person, you're like,
okay, so you're basing it more on them too, because like,
oh, I wouldn't just like, I'm not totally generalizing. It's like,
yeah,
it comes from obviously things I've seen.
Uh-huh. Because there's a bang of Davina says, I miss blokes being blokes. If they don't have a hand tattoo, I'm not interested. No, it's
like, yeah, a little bit of that, but a little bit of that, but also just like you can't get a kidder.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try and tell me that the sky is brown when the sky is blue.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So yeah, just like a basis was people playing happy families when I know that they're not happy families.
Oh, listen, I can, like, I know a queen in the UK at the moment who like is getting a lot of DMs from a person who is happy families online.
Always. I just find that obnoxious.
I find
it obnoxious. I find it insulting to everyone's intelligence. It's like,
You know, I've had conversations with friends before about like their tone online being so super perfect and positive, when and I've said the reality of that is not true, and actually what you're really kind of doing is making people think, oh, if they have it so perfect, then why is my life not so perfect? Nobody's life's perfect.
No, and nobody's it's creating, life is like, perfect.
Toxic positivity.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm talking about. And it's like, I can understand being happy about a situation, but don't act like this one event is going to fucking literally make your life, when in actual fact you'll be back being mental the week after.
Yeah. Killing each other every weekend.
Yeah. Basically. So yeah. So that's.
Do you have another one that you want to slip in?
I do.
What is it?
So we did a lot of events in tech companies, obviously over the course of the month. And like, when I say to high tech offices and fabulous places and fabulous spaces, I can't get my head around these fabulous tech companies that don't have the basics in order.
Go on.
Like, actually, just like, you need a microphone.
Yeah.
Have a microphone.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure it works.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's just not that big a deal.
Okay.
So that really, like, for all these high tech offices and everything is like, you know, operated from a panel, everything is voice activated and everything is this. Mm-hmm. And so it looks amazing and everything is so snazzy and fab, but yet you can't just turn on one basic thing. It's like, why have all these gizmos and gadgets aplenty, but then, you know, nothing works? Do you know that kind of way?
Absolutely. Get
so that just drives me nuts. It's like, I was at one event and I had to shout.
Okay.
And I was like, I can't shout over 80 people. I just can't do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And also, you really do. Yeah. Like, you honestly do feel that on your voice. Like, you feel the strain.
It's rough.
Yeah.
It because
people
rough.
Are talking. If you're talking to like a silent group, not so bad. But if you're actually talking over people, it's very hard.
100%.
So, yeah, I find that very hard.
I know. I totally get that. I think that's totally fair. I think that was just like, you wouldn't really be so bothered if you weren't doing a volume of them, though.
No, I actually would, because I don't want to be shouting over a group of people talking full stop. I just don't want to do that for my own is that there?
Yes, you're still there.
I just want to do that for my own like actual health. I don't want my voice going like Madge Bishop from Neighbours, Harold. No,
I love it. Okay, well, come here, while we're doing this, before we let you go, shout out to one of our patrons. Who will we do? Let me see. I'm going to scroll back and pick someone rather than one of the newbies. Let's pick someone. Gina Begley.
Oh, hi, Gina.
Hi, Gina Begley.
Gina is related to Philomena Begley of the Up the North. You know, she's a real old tradster. I just made that up.
You don't hear that surname very often. Hey, Gina, thanks for being a little petty little friend. We're going to head over. We're going to be talking even more over on our Patreon in a minute. So if you want extra Patreon content, head over to patreon.com/pettylittlethingspod. Hopefully you enjoyed today's episode. We'll be back again in 2 weeks.
Can I just say before we go as well, there's so many people that have reached out over the last month with petty stories and petty little texts.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I actually just love that we bond through a little bit of pettiness. I it tickles my core to actually like know that you just get the vibe and that like we might be rotted by one thing today but over it tomorrow.
100%.
It's all fun and games. 100%. And I love that you all get it and actually kind of like you're also rot at times.
I want to hear those stories.
Yeah.
So,
but I love hearing them on the daily. So it's like keep sending me things that rot you.
100%.
I really enjoy when we can bond over pettiness.
Davina will be in the George later on tonight. If you're around, pop in. It is Thirsty Thursdays.
Yeah. Thirsty Thursday, Sick Day Fridays.
And I'll be at the McBride this Saturday. Oh, so yeah. If you're around, happy Pride.
And who's the headliner?
The Vivian.
Oh, the Viv.
The Viv. Yeah. Yeah. So
for an extra 50, the wife can watch.
So we're there. I'll see you there. Until next time, though.
Stay petty.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.